Okay.
When it updates, it'll join.
Okay, it's 7 o'clock. Let's get started for the Port of Saugus Law Commission meeting for Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. Those present, I'll ask for a roll call. Bill Meyer.
Here.
Dale Edwards.
Here.
Craig Zalesi.
Here.
Mike Buchwald.
Here.
And I'm here as president. The first order on the business is a requested board hearing by Perry Bordeaux. Did I pronounce that right?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Perry, I'm going to give you the floor.
5 minutes.
Give him a minute to introduce himself. And go ahead and introduce yourself and give us a little background, and then we'll give you 5 minutes to state your case to us.
Thank you, Commissioners. I appreciate your taking the time to hear all this. I sent over a letter that it sounds like you guys all have in front of you, trying to detail out the situation as best as I can gather it. The long and the short of the story here is I'm not exactly sure what Mr. Huntington is going to rely on for his justification for his refusal of my mortgage and notice of vacate to me. I did ask repeatedly for, both in writing and in person, for a specific reason, and there were a couple of allusions to possible reasons that were then backed off from. So I don't really know exactly how to attack the merits of that or how he could defend the merits of that when we don't actually have a pinpointed reason for what happened. The short version of the story is I have previously talked to port employees about getting mortgage for this vessel. I have been told to just come in and bring in the insurance and the mortgage fee and so on and fill out a mortgage document when the vessel was ready to come in, because we didn't know when tuna season was going to end at the time. When I called ahead to say that I was on my way to do that, I was told the port was completely full. The port was not completely full, as the photos that I sent over showed. The vessel was already on its way in, so we got the vessel tied up, and I was told to go and speak with Mr. Huntington. When I did, he was, he raised his voice at me considerably. He used some cuss words towards me. He refused to discuss with me the reasons for his actions. He kept falling back on saying that it was an internal port matter, so therefore he had no reason to have to talk to me about it, even though I was staying well. At the end of the day, if it's involving me as someone who's not internal to the port, it's not really an internal port matter. I still need a reason why you're denying me service. It's kind of a fundamental right in this type of a situation. I detailed out some other situations that happened there. I got calls from the Coast Guard and Oregon State Police saying that Mr. Huntington had called them and told them that we had an active large oil spill polluting the river. They found no evidence of that whatsoever. It was just a really disturbing sequence of events there when all I wanted to do was pay some mortgage and be a tenant of the port and bring some commercial business into the port. And it caused a considerable amount of damage for me and my business, and it's just disturbing that I have a lifetime of history with that port. I want to bring commercial business back to that port. Many of the commercial vessels that came in October came because I was working with these other people to try to get them to come in as well, and then I ended up being denied mortgage for no apparent reason. I don't know what Mr. Huntington is going to say in his 5-minute rebuttal that I was told he was going to have, but you know, the fact that he hasn't provided me with an actual pinpointed reason for us to be discussing here should be reason enough to reverse his decision. There would be a potential issue there if he comes up with a reason now that he has refused to tell me up until now, which would certainly disadvantage me in being able to argue that when I'm going first here and, you know, I haven't had any forward notice of it. I had told Mr. Huntington that if there was an issue with past mortgage from before I had the vessel, or if there was some other issue that had come up where the vessel had been a bad tenant in the past, then I was more than happy to deal with whatever that issue was. He did not tell me any such issue, and other port employees indicated that he did not have past mortgage issues and that it had been, it had left without a vent and had not left a mess, is what I was told. When it left to go tuna fishing at the start of the season prior to my taking over the vessel. Aside from that, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here and trying to repair the damage however we can, because I would like to continue to do business with the Port of Siusla and bring my vessels in there.
Time's up.
I want to see the port reinvigorated from the perspective of commercial fishing and whatnot. I spent my childhood in there fishing back when we had buyers and ice plants and stuff, and I would like to see some sort of a return to that to whatever degree we can. And frankly, just on a personal level, I'm disturbed by how this all went. I really don't think me coming in calmly, politely asking what's going on warranted the type of treatment that I received, yelling, cussing, screaming, and basically telling me to get the F out. And it all led to here, where we are here. So, I don't know how much of my 5 minutes that was, but basically that's about all I really can have to say, because I don't know what Mr. Huntington is going to say. Curious to find out what his explanations are.
Okay.
And if there were substantive issues, I would be more than happy to address them.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bordeaux. Does anybody on the commission have questions for the appellant?
Does he currently have a mortgage certificate for his board at the Port of Siusla, a valid mortgage certificate, Mr. Perry?
Obviously he doesn't have a valid for this vessel.
Yeah. That's what I'm asking at this time.
I was denied any sort of mortgage when I came in to get the mortgage. I was going to pay an annual for my previous discussions with Port Employees.
Okay, have you made application for a mortgage permit, mortgage for your vessel at the Port of Siusla?
Do I have an application for
Have you made an application?
No, Mr. Huntington did not allow me to submit an application.
I have no other questions.
Mike?
I don't have any questions. I've read everything he's written.
Mm-hmm. Craig? Or Dale? Do you have anything?
Well, I do have a question.
Sure, Dale.
And it's just simply, what mortgage space would we have for a best class size that isn't already under lease, under contract?
Are you asking the rest of us, or asking staff?
Staff, I would assume.
Okay. We'll let staff handle that question coming up here. I'm going to ask the staff to maybe make a statement.
We don't have anything available for that size.
Anything? There's no space available for a vessel that size. And there wasn't at the time he come in here.
That's right.
Okay, just so I understand that.
If I may, sir?
Sure, go ahead, Perry.
This vessel overwintered in the port last year, and at the time that I brought the vessel in October, not only was the slip that it was in last year still open and appears to still be open today, but also the area where normally Brett and Tommy Lynn parked the Two Dreams was still open at the time and appears to be occupied by the Hillman now, which had come in after I had tried to get mortgage and did not have prior arrangements prior to me coming in to get mortgage. So there was, as the photos I sent over, considerable space in the port that would accommodate a vessel that size. And there appears to still be considerable space in the port that would accommodate a vessel that size. I know a few boats have come in since, but as just an intuitive matter of looking around, it does not appear as though there were no spaces that could fit the vessel, considering that even the slip that it occupied last year was still open and appears to still be open.
When you say open and appears to be open, what does that mean to you? Does that mean you know that it's not under contract already?
I am not aware of specifically what the contracts are that the port has.
Well, that's good enough for me. That's a good enough answer. Thank you.
I think at this time, Mr. Bordeaux, we're going to deliberate this at a future meeting. We're not going to deliberate this here as a commission. So we will deliberate this, and we will have you an answer in a week.
Thank you, sir.
That's the best I can do. So I appreciate your time, and you'll hear from us.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Let's move on. Next item.
Okay, let's end. Let's end.
I'd like to end the public hearing at this time.
Pardon?
We're done with the public hearing. We're going back to
with
the regular
appeal.
Scale.
We're going to
with
the agenda.
Right. Well, it was a board hearing. So I may have used the wrong terminology but I ended the board hearing.
Okay.
Approval of the agenda by consent. Any problems?
No.
So moved. No problem.
Approval of the minutes by consent. Did we read the minutes?
So moved.
Hearing no problems. It's approved by consent. I'll let Kelly take over the financials.
Checks printed in October were $105,472.73. The occupancy for the campground was 82%, which is the exact same as last year. And the mortgage was up 11 from last year. And then making the move from our savings account to the MMA account actually got us like $993 or something just from last month after making that move.
An interest
from the
income.
Interest.
Good, good.
That's
any
all
questions? Mike, no,
no
questions?
No,
wow. Okay, moving on to item 5, discussion on recreation immunity ends for improved trails. Craig, what do we got here? Is Craig still with us?
Craig?
He's on the phone.
No, he's...
Oh, is he?
Can't hear you.
Unmute.
I can't read your sign language, Craig.
Let me... Didn't you?
Okay. Well, you're on speaker, so we can hear you.
Okay. So, public entities have enjoyed recreation immunity for as long as I can remember, and basically that is immunity for folks using public property for recreational purposes. It could be anything, just walking through or just any kind of recreation. So there was a case up in Newport recently, Fields versus the city of Newport, where some women were walking their dog along the beach, and they exited the beach on a bridge that was apparently put in by the city of Newport. The woman slipped and fell, and then brought a suit against the city, and the city of Newport, their defense was recreational immunity, and it was struck down in court. So as it stands now, recreational immunity is no longer in existence. So what that means is that if the port has any open areas where there are trails or steps or bridges, we need to either decommission them or we need to maintain them. And what I thought about was the trail that goes down to the river.
Yep. Yes.
And I know that we did some improvements to that, but we either need to decommission the trail so it's not accessible, in my opinion, or we need to manage it by posting signage, making it maybe, is it illuminated, Dave? Didn't we put a solar light there?
I believe we did, and then we put signage there also.
And a railing.
And a railing.
Okay. So maybe, I just bring it up because this is new, and it used to be if people were using those things, and they were injured on their own accord. They couldn't bring suit against the public entity and win, but now they can. And so we need to manage it. There's a couple emails that I've had on it, some of them from special districts. And there's a few points it talks about, and it's just a couple recommendations I thought I'd just read to you if we have just a minute to do that.
Okay.
So what special districts is they're saying that improved trails that are used to access a recreational area should be inspected on a regular basis and closed if any trip and fall hazards can't immediately be mitigated. This especially includes trails, walkways, and stairs used to access bodies of water, such as the ocean, lakes, rivers, streams, and reservoirs. Number two, consider closing unimproved trails that can't be maintained on a regular basis. Number three, speak with your attorney about how Fields versus Newport could negatively affect the other recreational offerings we have to the public. And then number four, audit property you decide to leave open. So in other words, monitor it, put it on a regular maintenance schedule, those kinds of things. I don't know if we're doing that now, but consider requiring people to sign a form. That's not going to work for us. That would be something where maybe you're in a skate park and you're in a big city and you can afford to pay somebody to sign people in and out. I don't see us utilizing that risk management technique. And then the final one is contact your legislators to advocate to bring it back. This will probably change. This kind of ebbs and flows within the courts, but right now we can't use it as a defense. So we either need to eliminate those items or we need to manage them and make sure that we monitor them.
Okay.
I got a question.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, Craig.
Got a quick question, Kay. Would signage that says use at your own risk help in this case, or is that not a worthwhile endeavor to try?
That's the kind of signage they're looking for, Bill, are those kind of things. And what I thought I'd do, in fact I already have, is I've reached out to some risk management at special districts. I sent up a couple pictures and said, hey, what do you recommend? We do have lighting here. If we're going to go ahead and maintain this, what kind of signings would you recommend? And, well, I'll get some answers back, and they'll be really specific to the signage.
Okay.
Okay.
So we need to get Boomer on it. And, okay.
So what's our next move?
How long that we work through it, you guys?
Well, before we put in that trail, Craig, that was kind of an afterthought with that project. When we did that riprap project, we assumed that having a trail might be a better idea and a neater idea than having people try and climb down the riprap to get to the beach. And so that's the main reason that trail is there.
No good deed goes unpunished.
It makes perfect sense that what we did, but what's happening is the legal environment's changing. So for those kinds of trails that we've created, we just need to manage them. We really only have that one, but then again, anybody could be walking through the RV park, trip and fall and say, hey, there's a pothole here, you didn't cone it, you didn't have light, so we can't control all of them, but we can control the trails and such, right?
Okay, yes, we can.
So what you're telling me, when I trip and fall on a Forest Service trail, I can sue them?
That's federal government, it's not state.
But ultimately, that's how it is. It used to be that you couldn't do that, and you had to be recreating. Now, you could just be passing through, right? You may not be playing Frisbee in the park. You may just be walking through the park to get to the store. It's a shortcut. And you fall and trip on a sprinkler head, then the city gets hammered. I think it'll change, but for now, it's tough for us.
This is too woke, is what it is. Yeah. We're being too broad.
Well,
I don't like the message. I'm just bringing it to us so that we can make sure.
We want to kill the messenger.
That's almost like saying if I ride my bike down the highway and there's a car parked in the bike lane and I hit it, I can sue the city.
Yeah, I've driven over on my little electric scooter some pretty severe potholes. I know that right down here in Old Town.
Well, if they let a car park in the bike lane and I hit the rear of it, the city's at fault. Same thing.
So as of today, are we covered for that?
Yeah, we have coverage through special districts. This is just part of the risk management process. So they're not very happy about it. They'll lobby. It'll probably change. It's just too bad judges can't tell people, sorry, we're not going to pay for that today. But they seem to not do that very often.
Yeah. Well, A, we're covered. B, we'll get some information from Craig regarding signage, appropriate signage. And yeah, we don't have that much, but we can't do everything. We can't, yeah. I mean, we can't walk around filling every hole, every pothole on a daily basis.
Well, we do.
We just have to do.
Well, we do, you know.
Yeah,
the staff does.
The thing is we're not going to be able to. We're just not going to be able to cover everything. It's not even possible. We just got to have insurance coverage and do the best that we possibly can, make a good, you know, have a plan for it, and just stick with it. And
I suppose this will lead into some sort of a release when people camp with us. There will be some sort of a release. I'm sure CZ or the special districts will advise us on that.
Yeah, there'll be a lot more to come, you guys. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, if we just manage it, we're much more defensible if somebody brings a suit against us. In the case with Fields versus Newport, it was literally like a 2x8 that they put across it, like a little watery area. And they slipped and fell, and it was never maintained, and we'll maintain ours, and we'll be more defensible.
Okay, so they created their own attractive nuisance, and then it came back to bite them. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Well, sounds like we're on top of it then.
Yeah.
Thanks, Craig.
Good job, Craig.
Thanks, CZ. Yeah. But I'm mad at you for bringing that bad news, though. But other than that, no, I'll let you off the hook.
Well, that trail is pretty essential, the only trail we have.
It's so nice. I remember before we did that riprap, I used to walk down there. I'd take family members. We'd go out clamming out there, and you'd walk down a really tough trail to get down to the sand from there. Now, I mean, what they created, I thought, was just really nice. Good. So we'll manage it.
Okay, item 5. I'm not familiar with item 6, excuse me.
So this would be an ordinance amendment. Most of our ordinances were written back in the 70s, Terry.
Yep.
So for the safety of the public, visitors, and staff, we feel like an amendment to this ordinance would allow the port in cases to require criminal background checks for long-term mortgage customers and liveaboards.
Yep. Yep.
I just feel like, you know, we should kind of be doing our part to ensure that, you know, visitors, the general public, you know, our family and our friends are safe when they go and walk these dogs at the port, that, you know, we don't have a convicted violent felon setting up shop, living on our docks, or a drug dealer or a sex offender. We should be able to deny mortgage in these cases to someone. And so with this ordinance change, that's what it would allow the port to do. It would be to deny mortgage or liveaboard status for felony convictions.
Now, was this run by our lawyer?
It was.
Okay.
Well, that's good. That's all I care about. That's fine. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. And I'm glad you ran it by the attorney so that
we're not violating someone's right. Wokeism.
Well, it's kind of a gray area in our ordinances as it is right now. But
oh, I like it.
This puts it in writing, so there's no.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
That's very proactive, David.
It's the right thing to do. I appreciate that.
Now, can we, and city operates under different rules, can we adopt this tonight by declaring it an emergency?
Yes.
And the motion would be, I'm assuming the title of this ordinance, that would be the motion that someone would use to, because if the chair is ready, I'm ready to...
That is correct.
I'm ready to move on this one, Mr. Chair, if you're
ready.
Okay. I move and an ordinance amending Ordinance 4, Section 8.1 and 8.14, declaring an emergency and establishing an immediate effective date. That is the form of the motion, Mr. Chair.
Motion made. Is there a second?
I'd second that.
Motion made and second. Any future discussion? Hearing none, let's call for a roll call vote. Bill Meyer?
Aye.
Dale, are you with us?
Yes.
Did you hear the motion?
Yeah, my vote is aye. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Craig?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
And I vote yes. Perfect. So it passes unanimously.
So the second part of this will be to amend our mortgage agreements and liveaboard agreements to reflect this ordinance change, and you'll see them highlighted in yellow.
Okay.
So is this another motion, or is this just a...
A motion for us to have these changes.
Okay. So what is the overall title of the... Okay.
David?
Yeah.
Do we have liveaboards at this time?
Yes, we do.
And how will that affect? How would that affect them?
Well, every year when they renew their mortgage agreement with us, they would go into this new contract. This new contract for, I guess, who is here now at this. I mean, we could have everybody.
No, I think upon renewal is when it becomes effective. Yeah.
So that'd probably be a good thing to tell everybody that's already that you already have as a liveaboard, and so the next time they renew, there's been an amendment to the process.
Well, the ordinance we just passed is what you're telling me, David, is what we just looked at here in yellow.
Yes, and then
that's now, how it applies to.
And now we'll amend our mortgage agreement and liveaboard agreements to reflect the ordinance change.
So what we just passed enables you to amend the language that's highlighted in yellow.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. I'm with it.
Okay. I thought for a second we had another...
No. So that doesn't require a motion because the last one enables these changes. Gotcha.
Okay, good job, David. Manager and Commissioner reports. Dave, we'll start with you.
I really don't have much to report. It's been a pretty hectic month for us all here, and so
I had a pretty hectic Wednesday for David.
So I don't really have much to report on, except I plan on going elk hunting at some point. I don't know whether I'm going first season or second season.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me. I don't have anything to report.
I have nothing. Bill?
Got nothing. I'm out of ammunition.
Bill, you have something?
I just want to get home.
Okay.
He's still on.
Our next meeting will be December 20th. Craig, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. You have anything to report?
No, I don't.
Good man.
Okay. Do you guys do you guys feel comfortable with doing our December meeting? Does anybody have plans for being so close to Christmas?
Let me check, because I have
next meeting would be the 20th.
No, I won't be here. Yes.
If we don't have any urgent business, I would not hold a December meeting.
Yeah, I would. If we don't, I agree with you.
I would skip nice it, and we've done that before. Just, I would defer it till the next regular meeting date.
Okay. I don't think that's an issue. I think that's you've done it every other year. Yeah. I think. Merry Christmas.
So we'll just cancel that meeting and move on.
Okay. We can say Merry Christmas, can't we?
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, I'm supposed to have holidays.
If you need a motion to that effect, I think we'll allow
I'm
you
not sure which one I'm supposed to say here, but Merry Christmas.
Well, anymore, I'm not so sure what you say at all anymore.
Well, happy holidays.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes, CZ, happy holidays to you.
One thing I would like to point out that maybe we need to keep in our future discussions. Lane County Commissioner-elect contacted me through a third party. And this is, I'm going to just voice my displeasure to our Lane County Commissioner, who I thought would do better than this.
Okay, so.
He wants to know what our thoughts are on the offshore energy proposals. Well, if you want to know what the offshore energy proposals, what our thoughts are, come to the meeting. You know? He didn't even have the courtesy to call me.
Didn't we have a presentation of that a few years back?
We've already given our opinion on it.
Yeah, so we had a presentation.
Well, the county wanted to know our opinion of it, and I told them it's not good. I mean, we have no, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody in here could support it.
Until
they've done studies and showed us what they're going to do and how it's going to affect, which they haven't done.
Well,
I do agree they should be contacted through a third party.
Yeah, it's some other I mean, it's like, really?
And if he wants a resolution, send us a resolution, we'll act on it. If he wants a resolution,
come and, obviously he's thinking about it. But anyway, make a long story short.
They don't have enough capacity on the electrical intertie between the coast here and California to handle the potential electricity they're thinking of generating on these monstrous.
Well, they're worried about our crab pots in the ocean during whale migration. Yeah. What are they going to do with these? Are they going to take them up?
Well, because it's for such a good cause, it doesn't matter. It's so just like,
so you drive your electric car?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that I'd like to reach out to the county commissioner and say, why don't you come down here and ask us?
Yeah.
You know?
Jackie, you've got something you want to know. That's
you don't do it by a phone call to a third party.
Get it second-handed.
Anyway, I had to get that off my chest because it kind of...
Well, I'm glad you did, Terry. I feel better about it.
Any other thing?
No. Harry?
Yes?
Letters tell us how you feel.
I intend to. Well, to make a phone call, and this is how it was put to me. He wants to know what the pulse is of the port community on the offshore energy. Well, if you want to know what the pulse is, come and visit us. You know, we're paying taxes. Anyway, don't get me up on my soapbox here. Dale. At this time, our meeting will be closed.